Glory to God. How many of y'all are ready to train in the Word? Praise God. You may be seated. I'm going to pray. And then we get right into the Word of God. God, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much for your atmosphere. Thank you so much for your grace and your anointing, God. Thank you so much, God, that you will open the heavens for us, that we can receive from you. We can't receive nothing from you unless it comes from you in heaven. And we thank you, God. We give you all the glory. Holy Spirit, help me tonight as we delve into your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and we'll read the, start off at the 12th verse. I want to stress the importance of understanding how to cooperate with the apostolic. When Jesus died on the cross, there was a shift that took place in how God dealt with his people. If you look in the Old Testament, God dealt with his people as a group. He would give specific instructions to those he chosen to give the people of God specific instructions. But when Jesus died on the cross, we as people were able to accept him as our Savior, and we received the Holy Spirit, and we received God living on the inside of us. So if you notice, if you read the Old Testament, and then you shift into the New Testament, you'll see where in the New Testament, God begins to give us opportunities to participate with him. What I mean by that? In Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you," right? Well, there's something about the script. There's an understood you. What I mean by understood you? You can really start that scripture off by saying, "You seek." It's not we seek. Amen. Uh-huh. It's you seek. Another one is in Romans, the 10th chapter, around the 9th verse, it says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 1 John 2, 27, there's anointing that abideth in you. So what's my point? My point for saying that is to stress to you the importance of learning how to cooperate with the apostolic so that the God on the inside of you can guide and lead you. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th verse. Say we're going to start at the 12th, but the 11th verse, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, this is important, for the perfecting of the saints, or the what? Maturing of the saints. Why? So that the work of the ministry can be accomplished, so that the body of Christ can be built. Now, it's very important that we understand the purpose of the fivefold ministry gifts. Is to mature us. Mature us to do the work of the ministry. So that means that I'm going to eventually have to learn to hear the voice of God. I can't always depend on the apostle to hear the voice of God for me. I can't always depend on the prophet to hear the voice of God for me. They are there to prepare me, to mature me. See, you must fall in love with the Word of God. Now, there's a reason why you must fall in love with the Word of God. Go with me to Genesis, the third chapter. Watch this. Genesis, the third chapter. Nobody that's operating in the world system, nobody that's operating in the world system knows what to do unless they have the Spirit of God on the inside of them.
Right.
Nobody operating in the world system knows what to do unless they have the Spirit of God operating on the inside of them. Yeah. All these so-called experts and these academics and all of these, they're guessing. They're trying to go off of historical data, try to figure out what's going to happen in the future. Yeah. They're trying to discover solutions within themselves. And watch this. If you don't have the Spirit of God within yourself, you ain't going to access the solution. Because man all by himself is corrupt. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no direct path to an answer or solution. You're going to have to make it up as you go. Are you seeing this? Here's why we have to fall in love with the Word of God. We're in training the Word, right? All right, watch this. Look in Genesis, the third chapter. And the 23rd verse. Now, those of us that are Bible students know mostly know what has happened. The third chapter of Genesis is covering the fall of man. It shows where man ate the fruit that he wasn't supposed to eat, how God dealt with man. And in this 23rd and 24th verse, we're going to see God do something. In the 23rd verse, therefore, the Lord had sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword was turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Notice that God did not destroy the tree of life. Now, let's see this. Notice that God did not destroy the tree of life, nor did he destroy Eden.
Right.
We can't find that nowhere in the Bible. So that means that Eden still exists. That means Eden, what does Eden represent to us? What it represents to you? Everything good. I mean, the best place you could be in, a place where you got everything you need. You got all the trees that you can eat from, the tree of life. You got God meeting you there to teach you about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because see, most people misunderstand about the Garden of Eden and what the purpose of the Garden of Eden was for. The Garden of Eden was a place where Adam and Eve were supposed to train. Train so that they can know how to deal with the outer darkness. Because when God told them be fruitful and multiply, again, that's just not talking about having children. God was really telling them, what you're going to learn here, I'm going to need you to be able to be fruitful and multiply that in the darkness. That's why we got dominion. That's why he gave us dominion. So you ask the question, if Eden is not destroyed, if the tree of life is not destroyed, where is it? God realized that man could not handle the Garden of Eden without the participation of the Holy Spirit. All right, now watch how I know this. Watch what he did. Let's learn something. Watch what he did. Look in the 24th verse. He says, so he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden. Notice what he placed. Cherubims, which is an angelic being. Angels usually represents messengers. They're messengers and protectors. God placed cherubims all around. And watch this. A flaming sword. Now let's break this down. God got angels who are protectors and messengers and a flaming sword around the Garden of Eden. So that means, watch this, listen to me. That means the Garden of Eden still exists. The Tree of Life still exists. So that means it's possible for you to have a lifestyle here on earth right now where everything is going good. Even when it looks like it's going bad on the outside, you're not fretting because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you leading you. Amen. Notice he had angelic beings, messengers, and protectors. And watch this, a flaming sword. Go to Matthew's the third chapter. Hold your finger there in Genesis, the third chapter, and go to Matthew's the third chapter. Because we're about to learn who God really put around the Garden of Eden. Notice I said who. Matthew's the third chapter. And the 11th verse. John the Baptist talking. And he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So here we see John the Baptist making reference of the Holy Ghost and fire. Acts, the second chapter. Turn there. We're in training in the Word, right?
Yes,
sir. So we're going to train and we're going to learn something. We're going to see the importance of the Word of God. And see, the Word of God, or let me say it like this, the Eden lifestyle that we know we were destined to have has to come from the Word of God, but it can't come just from the written Word of God. The written Word of God is going to lead us to where God really wants us to be. Look in Acts. Second chapter, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 2 in Acts, the second chapter. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There we see it again. The Holy Spirit and fire. So let's go back to Genesis, the third chapter. So we see in Genesis, the third chapter, the 24th verse, after God drove man out of the Garden of Eden, he put around the Garden of Eden and the Tree of Life cherubims are angelic beings, which represents messengers and protectors. They're protecting the tree of life. All right. And a flaming sword. That flaming sword is talking about the Word of God influenced by the Holy Spirit. So you mean to tell me that the tree of life, that the Holy Spirit gives me access to the tree of life? All right, let me prove it to you. Go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Watch this. Verse 17, Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesians. He's telling about the armor of God, and he made some references with the armor. In the 17th verse, he said, and take the helmet of salvation and the what? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter and the 12th verse. Are you seeing this? It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged what? sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Garden of Eden really hadn't gone nowhere. It just shifted dimensions. It shifted dimensions, meaning that you can access, that you're going to have to access it in the spirit world before you see any fruit in the natural world. See, Adam and Eve had it the other way. They were able to access it in the natural, and God was getting them, trying to get them to shift in the spirit. God said, I see man can't handle it that way. So therefore, they're going to have to be in the spirit before they access the Eden in the natural. Are you seeing this?
Yes.
Go with me to John, the fourth chapter. So Eden, your dominion in the earth realm is not going to be based on what anybody else do. It's going to be based on what you do. That's why they say you seek first the kingdom of God. That's why it says the anointing that abided in you.
Yes, sir.
And you coming up with your own, you know, bunch of scriptures. You have to walk by faith, not by sight. Are you seeing this? Eden has not gone anywhere. It shifted dimensions. It's certain things, it's certain persons of the Godhead that we're going to have to get familiar with in order to access the tree of life. Let's break down what the tree of life is. Let's just break down. Let's break down. It's very simple what the tree of life is. It ain't all complicated. It ain't all deep. The tree of life is simply answers to the dilemmas that's trying to present darkness in your life. Isn't that simple? The tree of life is not that deep. The tree of life is simply answers to dilemmas that's trying to bring darkness in your life. Mm-hmm. That's all the tree of life is. And the Holy Spirit, the flaming sword, gives us access to that tree. Access to that tree gives us access to Eden.
Come on,
so I could be in Eden and everybody else around me be in hell. So watch this. So it doesn't matter what's going on around me. It only matters what's going on the inside of me. Because whatever's on the inside of me can always come out and change out what's happening around me. So I'm not depending on what anybody else, I'm not depending on these experts, I'm not depending on the government, I'm not depending on, I don't care what they're doing. I don't care if World War III breaks out. See, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love. Where do you think that sound mind comes from? Spending time with God and His Word and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Before we go to John, go with me to Proverbs, the first chapter. See, people don't understand cooperating with the apostolic and why apostle, every time he steps in his pulpit, his job is to mature us. It's to bring us to a place of maturity in that he don't have to provide every little answer for us. All he's doing is providing direction. But it's up to me to discover the answer. God made it possible when that curtain was rent in two. When Jesus died on the cross, that means the Spirit of God was no longer trapped in a room. Like it was in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God is now free to go in whoever is willing to accept Him. So that means every answer that I need is on the inside of me. But I can't be on the outside looking for answers when the answers are on the inside of me. So I have to mature enough to be able to go on the inside. Maturity, look, immature people are affected by what's happening on the outside. Immature people are affected by what's happening on the outside. Immature people are affected by what's happening on the outside. Mature people are not fazed by what's happening on the outside, because mature people, when I say mature, I'm talking about people who are apostolically connected, who are letting the fivefold ministry gift mature them, cause them to grow up, will know how to shift to go on the inside to find answers. Proverbs. Proverbs, the first chapter. Let me get there. Proverbs, the first chapter. I think it's the seventh verse. See, Apostle and I just coming up here and just filling in space or coming up here and just saying whatever. It's methodical. It's spiritually methodical. It's the reason why the Lord gets him to teach on certain things.
Yeah.
In Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 7, watch this now. When he said, when he read this scripture and started teaching the scripture, it hit me. It says, what? The fear of the Lord is the what?
Beginning
of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. It says, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What's the best knowledge to have? The best knowledge to have is knowing how to deal with your current situation. And the way I'll get that particular knowledge, because see, you can know a lot of things. You know, you know, in school, and most of y'all have gone through this, went through grade school, middle school, high school, and you know that you learned a lot of knowledge that ain't doing you no good right now. So you can know a lot of things, but the best knowledge to have is how to deal with your current situation. And to access that particular knowledge, it begins with the fear of the Lord. Respect, reverence, seeing what God wants, seeing what God says. God, how do you feel about this, God? God, what are you thinking about this? Because we're trying to get to the tree of life, or we're trying to get to Eden, without considering what he thinks. That's where I always teach this in a training center, that we have to become God-centric rather than self-centric.
Right.
Otherwise, we have to be God-centered rather than self-centered. See, a lot of times, many in the body of Christ read the word of God from a self-centered point of view. What I mean by that? They read the word of God and only concerned about what the word of God can do for me. Not even reading the word of God to see what God is trying to ask me to do or what God is trying to show me. So people have a tendency to be self-centered when it comes to the word of God. So when you become self-centered with the word of God, and it could be the people that know the Bible the most. No scripture can quote them left and right. But if you're not concerned about what God wants, if you're not concerned about what God is saying, and there are going to be times when God says something that you don't agree with. So here's where the fear of the Lord comes in at. If God says something to me that I don't agree with, what am I next going to do? Am I going to lay down my ego, make the necessary changes I need to make? Or am I going to be bullheaded and try to take the word of God and force to happen what I want to happen? See, it says the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Watch this. Proverbs, the ninth chapter. Proverbs, the ninth chapter. Because I'm going somewhere because we're going to see Jesus say something in John. Because I hadn't forgot about John. Jesus is going to say something that's just revolutionary. And a lot of people didn't catch what he was saying. Look in Proverbs, the ninth chapter and the 10th verse. It says, the fear of the Lord is the what?
Beginning.
You know, I love studying and meditating the word of God. Now, if we're in training in the word, right? All right. So if you don't have access to a strong concordance, what I mean by strong concordance, there is a strong concordance allows you to get what a word really means, because the New Testament was written in Greek, Old Testament written in Hebrew. So you cannot read the word of God with your Western Hemisphere thinking.
Come on,
Charles. Because we in America, words change meanings. Gay used to mean happy. ain't what it mean no more. Words have the meanings change. So having a strong concordance that allows you to see the word of God and have little numbers up by the scriptures. For those of you that know what's going on, just bear with me because I got people watching all over. Some people never even know what a strong concordance is. Another example, before I go to show, another example of why we can't see the word of God without Western Hemisphere thinking. A lot of times we've been taught that the reason that Miriam and Aaron came against Moses is because Moses married a black woman. How many heard that? How many knew that? That's not truth. That's not truth. What caused us to think like that? Because of our Western Hemisphere thinking, American history, slavery. Moses married a black woman, so they must have been racist. Automatic. I know without a shadow. That's not what went down. Watch this. Moses, remember, floated down the river Nile. Who got Moses? Pharaoh's daughter. So Moses was raised up in affluence. Amen. Right? So Moses got touched by the heart of God. We ain't trained in the word, right?
Yes, sir.
Moses got touched by the heart of God and realized his true calling. Right? So God called him to lead his people out of slavery, right? So now he's led the people out of slavery. Moses married this affluent person who happened to be black. Because Ethiopia at that time was a very rich nation. So Miriam and Aaron really got mad at Moses because they were thinking that Moses thought he was too good to be with them. Because they come out of slavery. So this is why you need to be able to study the word of God and be able to get a strong concordance so that you can get the truth, because you can't take your American language and try to read the word of God without no help, because it was originally written in Hebrew. Whole different culture. It originally written in Greek. Whole different culture. So a lot of times we misinterpret the word of God because we take our culture, what we used to and what we know, and try to cover it over the word of God that was written long before America was ever designed. Are you seeing this? I'm finna, the reason why I went through that dissertation to tell you that is because turn to John, the fourth chapter. And we ain't gonna be much longer because I need you to understand the importance of cooperating with the apostolic, which means we ought to allow apostles to mature us, which means maturity sometimes is going to take going through growing pains.
Yeah.
Growing pains simply means there's a shift that you don't really like. Some of us went through growing pains in our bodies. Sometimes as kids, we go through growing pains, and sometimes your joints ache because you're growing. You go through growing pains. There's a time when my voice was one way, and for a period of time, I lost my voice because my voice was changing, growing, maturing. See, we have to allow the fivefold ministry gifts to mature us. Let me preface that. You must realize that the fivefold, they themselves got to be mature.
Amen.
See, a pastor that is not connected to an apostle will hit a ceiling and can't go no further. So their job is to mature us. We have to allow the maturity to take place. If the maturity does not take place, we can't access the tree of life. If we don't allow apostle to push us, to challenge us, to cause, he said it's Sunday. I was watching online. He said it's Sunday. He said, now how much time are you spending with the word of God? You don't tell me how much time I spend with the word of God. I spend how much time I want to spend. I don't need you asking me this question. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. I spend as much time as I need to spend. But the question was asked because God is trying to get us to easily access this tree of life. Easily access Eden. Easily access Eden where everybody around you is going through hell.
Come on,
yeah.
God is trying to get us in a position to where as the world get darker, we get brighter. Not complaining about the gas prices. Not being fearful of what other people are doing, what decision our government is making and what decision they're not making. Not even your life, not even hinged on that. When you allow our apostle, when you allow the fivefold ministry gift to mature you, to push you, to challenge you, to cause you to do something in the supernatural that you've never done before. Because where I'm about to go, Jesus made a point in saying something very powerful. Jesus called out three groups of people at the same time and they didn't realize they were being called out. Go to John, the fourth chapter. See, LTMA, this is why Apostle God graced him to have LTMA, because there are ministers and ministries and that will die on the vine because, watch this, if you don't know what to do, your only other option is to make it up as you go. To figure it out as you go, to try to figure it out on your own. If you don't have access to the Holy Spirit and understand that how the Holy Spirit works, or what the Holy Spirit, and listen, accessing the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with how long you've been saved. The moment you get saved, the moment you have access to the Holy Spirit. This is why you have to begin to hide the Word of God in your heart. Adam and Eve had it wonderful. Here's why they had it wonderful. Adam and Eve had access to the Rhema. Because they didn't have no logos. Rhema was showing up. Rhema was showing up on the spot, wanting to spend time with them every day. Because watch this, as soon as they messed up, they began to hide. And the Rhema went looking for them. So is it possible that Rhema is looking for you, but you ain't showing up where you need to be? They had Rhema. Watch this. Now watch the purpose of the Word of God. Please hear me out. Watch the purpose of the Word of God. When you spend time with the Word of God, excuse me, I'm going to say it this way, it ain't going to make it effective. Your BS detector becomes accurate. By Adam and Eve spending time with God in the Garden of Eden, God was branding the God into the outer darkness. What God was doing was hiding the Word of God in their mind so that when they went into the outer darkness, they had something to compare it to. Yes. So that means when you hide the Word of God in your heart, which is your soul, that means you can go out in this world system and be able to distinguish what is God and what is not God. You can begin to discern where God is moving and where he's not moving. See, this is how you know, this is how you find answers. Because see, God, the voice of God is not stuck in an audible fashion. Sometimes God shows up in unfamiliar places. God will show up and talk to you in unpeculiar ways. That's why Romans 12 and 2, Apostle talked about it all the time. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed. Why? How about a renewing of your mind so that you can what? Prove. Another word for prove is recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So because I hide the Word of God in my heart, because I renew my mind, that means I can go into this world system and I can recognize where God is moving. I can recognize my answers. I can discover where God wants me to go. I'm not just stuck on a voice. I'm not limiting God to a voice. I'm opening God in my life that God, you can talk to me in it because I can recognize you. I can recognize where you're going. I can recognize the tree of life. I can see two trees or two options. I know I need to eat off this tree. I eat off this tree because I recognize it's God. That's why the apostolic is maturing us. I don't believe in young apostles. Let me tell you why I don't believe in young apostles. I don't believe in young apostles because I believe an apostle has to go through the other four gifts. Because if an apostle don't go through the other four gifts, then if an apostle was just an apostle from jump, y'all wouldn't know how to deal with an apostle. Because the apostle don't really care about your feelings. It is the pastor and the apostle that are concerned about your feelings. But an apostle is not concerned about your feelings. An apostle is only concerned about God's agenda and getting it here on earth. So this is why sometimes when an apostle says something that rubs you or challenges you, it's to get you to grow. And what Satan's job is to get you to complain. Satan's job is to get, don't ask me how long I spend time with God. I spend enough time with him. What about you? See, that immature talk. Acting like a child, the immature talk when the person God has connected you challenges you. Accept the challenge. Because the challenge is to cause resistance so that you can push through. So that when the next darkness try to enter your life, you will be bigger than the darkness. The darkness won't cover you. You're going to cover the darkness, which means you're going to be able to see everything around you, light everywhere. Why? Because I'm towering over the darkness. John the fourth chapter. Watch this. John the fourth chapter. There are so many people, so many Christians that will suffer because they're not being challenged. They're not being allowed to mature. They want the pastor to pray not only for them, but pray with them. They don't know how to pray for themselves. They don't know how to contact God for themselves. They run into a situation and they panic. They run into a situation and they don't know what to do. Not only do they not know what to do, but they don't know how to find where to go to get the answer on what to do. We cannot be like that. Me personally, I refuse to stay like I am. I refuse to stay in a position to where I don't know where I can't figure out or I can't discover. Let me say it back there. Let me say it better like that. I can't discover or recognize my next move. I refuse to stay in the same place I was last year. I'm going to hide this word of God in my heart that I'm ready for anything. I don't care what breakout. I'm ready for whatever. Whatever the devil won't do, I know Jesus is bigger and he lives on the inside of me. So bring it on. Whatever you want to do, I'm game. See, you should be going around talking about, I wonder what's going to happen next. I really don't care what happened next. All I know is that whatever happened next, God has the answer on the inside of me and I know how to access the answer. John, the fourth chapter. John, the fourth chapter, let's start at verse 11. Look at that. Let me read the whole story. I was trying to get by it, but let's read it. Verse 7. There come a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples are gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Now, Jesus is going somewhere. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our fathers Jacob, which gave us the wells and drank therefore himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Are you seeing this? The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast said well, I have no husband, for thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. Is that saidest thou truly? The woman said unto her, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. This is where I want to get to. See, Jesus was prepping her the whole while to get to this. Now, Jesus is about to call out three different groups of people, three different cultures of people. And he's calling them out. He's challenging them. Whether or not they're going to accept the challenge is to be seen, but he's going to challenge them. This is what the apostolic does. The apostolic challenges you. You got to learn to cooperate. When the apostolic challenges you, now is not the time to get angry, upset, in your feelings. Come on now. Feeling sorry for yourself. Yeah. That's not the time. That time is to watch the, oh, one of my favorite scriptures. Luke 21:19. In your patience, possess your soul. Why is that scripture important? Because as soon as the apostolic challenges you, Satan is not far behind. So, and the only way Satan can affect you is through your thoughts. So you have to possess your soul.
Yes, sir.
Calm your soul down. Grab them thoughts. Don't let those thoughts produce any feelings that's gonna block your maturity. All right, watch this. Jesus calling out. This woman, if you notice, she didn't get angry one time Jesus called out. She didn't get mad Jesus called out. Why? Because she wanted the answer. See, a lot of us in the modern church, we want the answer, but we get mad when we get called out. And the anger or the feeling or whatever emotion that blocks the answer. See, once again, let me tell you something about an apostle. An apostle don't really care about your feelings. An apostle is only concerned about the agenda of God and bring it into the earth realm. Now, you can get it if you don't want to, or you don't have to get it. But thank God we have a pastor that has to be an apostle. He understands, he has compassion for the people, so he works with us. But watch this. Why don't we just mature and not be hung up on feelings? Whether or not is pastor concerned about me? Yes, he is concerned about you. Okay, now we know he's concerned about you. Let's go on. Let me connect to the apostle. Because I need to be able to access the tree of life. I need to be able to access the Garden of Eden. I can't access the Garden of Eden unless I go through that flaming sword. Which means I can't access any answers or any insight unless I let the Holy Spirit illuminate the Word of God for me. And that's the purpose of the fivefold ministry gift, is to teach us how to let the Holy Spirit illuminate the Word of God. When you allow that molding to take place, then there'll be times there'll come in times when God is going to use you in your vicinity to deliver somebody else. Now, how can you deliver somebody else when you got to go deliverance for somebody? You got to go somebody else for deliverance. If you got to come here every Sunday to get deliverance instead of maturity, then God can't use you to deliver nobody else, because you yourself ain't delivered.
Amen.
And then with the way we work in humanity and everything, you can't always bring them to deliverance. So you're going to have to be the representative of deliverance. How can I be a representative of deliverance if I don't want to mature? How can I be a representative of deliverance to get somebody else an answer who is not as mature as I am if I can't even get an answer for myself? See, that's why I don't believe. I'm not following nobody. I'm not listening to nobody preach that can't solve their own problems. I believe a preacher ought to be preaching from life experiences.
Amen.
Don't preach to me nothing you hadn't experienced. Don't preach to me nothing that God ain't, that you hadn't walked with God through. People talking about money and broke. Talking about, watch this. Talking about healing and you always sick.
No.
You got to have fruit in your life or I listen. You can't bring nobody to deliverance if you're not delivered yourself. Now, if we gonna be the light of the world, that means we shine on darkness. That means we got to be out the darkness. Or better yet, darkness got to dissipate when we show up. All right, watch this. Look, 20th verse. We're in the 20th verse. Watch what the woman said to you, verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Verse 20. Watch this. This is very key. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall not, so neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father." Now Jesus called two sets of people right there. Really, three sets. He called out the Samaritans because they were worshiping God their own way. Go back and study. Once again, study, show thyself approved to God. Go read about the Samaritans and see where they come from. They were akin to the Jews, but they had odds with the Jews because they believed they ought to reach God this way, and the Jews believed they ought to reach God this way. They were going, trying to get to the same place, just had two different routes. Watch what Jesus say. Jesus say, watch this, verse 22. "Ye worship, ye know not what." We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. Jesus was trying to tell her that the Messiah was coming through the Jews. All right? Let's keep reading. Verse 23. "But the hour cometh, and now is." He said, "The hour cometh, but it has showed up. When the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Verse 24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him," you see that? "Must worship him in spirit." Now, let me emphasize that. In spirit and in truth. Now, back to my Strong Concordance. When you look up the word worship in the Strong Concordance, it says to lay prostrate, or watch this, figuratively or literally. It means to lick like a dog licking the hand of its master. Other words, it's saying that there's so much reverence, so much fear, reverential fear, for God. Watch this. Jesus said, now watch what Jesus said. That reverential fear, that respect cannot just be an outward display. He said, "The hour cometh and is now that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So that means, watch this, to lick the hand of your master cannot just be an outward appearance or outward act. In your spirit, you have to lick the hand of the master or give obeisance or lay prostrate, which means your spirit and your soul got to bow down to God's thoughts.
Come on, God. Yeah.
There are people in the church today. That's why we're going through this shift with praise and worship. There are people that will give an outward act of worship.
Come on.
But when they get behind closed doors by themselves and God challenges them, they say, "I'm not doing it that way." I'm not, when apostle challenged them, "Oh, I'm not changing." Well, what was all this?
Come on, God.
Yeah. Lord, I love you. Because Jesus said, they that worship him, he ain't say nothing about worship in the flesh. He said they must worship him in spirit and in truth. Other words, when you by yourself and God gives you instructions, When you alone and God nudges you to do something, it's what you do at that moment is whether or not you're going to worship God.
Come on,
are you going to yield your spirit to God? Are you going to become God-centric or are you going to be self-centric?
Come on, sir.
See, this is, see, if you, see, that's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. So therefore, true worshipers is not just about, oh God, I love you. Not just when Montrell and Darnell and Lauren and Miss Kathy up here singing and you into it, man. You into it, you gone and you worshiping God. That's nice. That's wonderful.
Right. Come on.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But is that outward act going to translate inside?
Come on, sir.
When God nudge you and tell you, hey, I need you to talk to this person. Ask them if they know Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to worship him?
Uh-huh.
Or are you going to come right, you're going to wait till Sunday to come here to make yourself feel good? Because you're guilty all week because you ain't obey his voice. That's maturity. See, maturity, there's no such thing as maturity without dilemmas. There's no such thing as maturity without God seeing if you're going to get out of character.
Come on, sir.
If you're going to get out of yourself,
yes,
and depend on him. Maturity comes when challenges arise. What are you going to do? Are you going to worship him? Because watch this. Jesus kept going. Verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said, watch this. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus was challenging Samaritans, the Jews, and the Gentiles. He said, there will come a day when you ain't going to be able to go into that mountain because the Samaritans went into one mountain to worship. The Jews went to Jerusalem to worship. He said, there coming a day when you ain't going to be able to go into mountains and worship. He was talking about outward acts of worship. You ain't going to be able to go into mountains and worship him. You ain't going to be able to go into Jerusalem to worship him. You're going to have to worship him in your spirit.
Yeah.
Which simply means, am I going to obey what God is asking me to do? Am I going to accept the challenge? See, now we're starting to see the importance of the fivefold ministry gift. The fivefold ministry gift is to perfecting of the saints.
Yes, sir.
To do what? To do the work of the ministry.
Yes, sir.
Notice the Apostle Paul didn't say that the fivefold ministry gift is there to perfect the saints or to mature the saints. Just so they can solve all their problems.
Come on, Tara.
Yeah.
That ain't what he said. He said the maturing of the saints to do the work of the ministry.
Yeah.
If you need help, Matthew 6:33 says, when you do the work of the ministry, I'm going to solve your problems.
Yes.
Yes. Learning how to cooperate with the apostolic is going to take you understanding that I'm going to have to grow. That means I'm going to have to study more. That means I'm going to have to spend more time with God. That means in order for me to better understand who he is, I got to spend more time than I've been spending with God. That means when I have to give God not just first place, I have to give God center. What I mean by that, give God center. Everything else revolves around him. Everybody else revolves around him. God is the center. Now, what's so wonderful about that? When you make God the center, you ain't got to worry about prioritization because God is a perfect harmonizer. He'll work everything out. He's not the author of confusion. So when you put him at the center, God will arrange everything to your favor. He will arrange everything to your favor. Romans 8:28 becomes life.
Come on.
And we know that all things work together for the good, for them that love God and for them that are called according to his purpose. Put emphasis on it. His purpose. When you put God at the center, everything else revolves and God begins to orchestrate. So when you put him at the center and you begin to worship him in spirit, not just on the outside,
yeah,
but on the inside. See, that's why this shift is being made. Because the focus has to be on maturing saints.
Yeah.
The focus of us being here on Sunday, well, of us being here tonight, is for our maturity.
Right.
So that we can grow. It's necessary that we can grow so that we can do the work of the ministry. So the body of Christ can be built. So we can't have, the church can't be about nothing else but maturity.
Yeah.
It can't, it should be a place where most of the people are mature. So when immature people come, they're in a place of safety to grow. See, this is why a lot of mega churches don't survive in times of trouble. Because they got a bunch of babies. They got a bunch of babies. So when babies are there and more babies come, it burns the leader out. David, when he was in the cave of Adullam, had some guys joined him. If you see these same guys later on, they begin to tell David, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. They told David, they say, David, we're your flesh and we're your bones. They went on to tell David, they said, listen to this now. We're going to make you king according to the word of God. To God's voice, what God said. When they said, we're going to make you a king, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, now them making him a king didn't determine whether he's going to be king or not. Because the calling was there. He was going to be king. But what they had to do is, they had to make him king in their mind. They had to decide that we're going to hear the word of God. We're going to listen to what God has said. And we're going to make you king. We got to go through that same process.
Yes, right.
Apostle may not be apostle to anybody else. But to me, he's my apostle. And I'm going to allow him to challenge me and mature me so that I can be prepared for whatever this world system is going to try to bring. I want to be the person when darkness try to overtake my life that I rise up as light. Notice I say I ain't called apostle. Why? I shouldn't have to call apostle because I've been trained. I have been matured to do the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ can be built. And watch the wonderful thing about this. When you mature, there are people that are watching you.
That's true, sir.
There are people that are watching you and see how you're going to handle this situation.
Yeah.
What you going to do? We're going to see what you're going to do. And based on your activities in handling that situation, it caused them to think different about God.
Amen.
That's called building the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
So we can't stay as immature Christians. If apostle asks us to do something or ask us a question or ask us to challenge us, it ain't time for you to get in your feelings. See, that's the thing, that's the main thing we got in there. We don't have it no more. When we first started LTMA, Oh my God, I ain't never seen so many immature people in my life. He don't tell me what to do. Wait a minute. You said God told you to follow him. Now, what in the world makes you think that God told you to follow him and he ain't going to pull no stuff out of you that need to be pulled out? I ain't reading this book he telling us to read. I know this already. Dude, your life's showing that you don't know this. Your life's showing that you don't know what you're doing. Because of immature talk. God connected us to apostle to mature us. It ain't always gonna be something you like. Apostle ain't always gonna come in the pulpit and tell you, I love you. You got to know this. One of the things we say in LTMA is we're not built on flesh connections. What that means? Does that mean that we're not going to be honor each other and we're not going to be, that we're not friendships are not going to be made and that, no, that's not what that meant. What that mean is we are not going to let the flesh get in the way of the spirit, our connection in the spirit. That means they're really talking to each of us as individual. It doesn't matter where apostle go, God has connected me to him, so it doesn't matter how I feel. I don't care what anybody else does. My spiritual connection is going to override the flesh connection I have with him. Are you seeing this? See, if we have got to get to this point to where we allow the apostolic to mature us. The apostolic has been behind for so long because we ignored the apostolic for so long. We've been in a pastoral model. And because we've been in this pastoral model, the church has been going around in a circle.
Right.
Going around in a circle, doing the same old thing.
Right.
Trying to accomplish the same old, we're trying to teach the same old messages.
Yeah.
But the apostolic, let me say this, I'm going to close with this. All other ministry gifts are ineffective without the apostle. A prophet may be able to see in the future, but he or she don't know how to get there without the agenda. So all these people going around prophesying, that's what messed the presidential election up. Too many people prophesying what they want to happen. So the attention got off of God and onto them prophesying. That's why certain things happen in the election. Uh-huh, y'all gonna catch up to it. So we have to allow the apostle to take his or her rightful place in the body of Christ because the apostle carries the agenda of God. So watch this. So when we talk about getting to the Garden of Eden, there has to be an agenda from God, direction from God. And we can't get there without being taught how to access that flame and sword. Because without the flame and sword, you're not going to access the tree of life. We have got to allow the apostle to mature us. How many in agreement with me? You online, we have got to let the apostle, you may not understand what an apostle is or what, look, just tune in here and listen to Dr. Thompson. When you listen to him, you'll learn what an apostle is so that your life can be challenged and you can mature. Because without the apostle, the church is going to go in circles. Amen. I don't want to go in circle. Amen. I don't want to be the same place I was last year. Amen. I want to be in a different place. I want Eden to flow in my life. Praise God. Lift your hand and do the offering envelope. Thus is now to serve you. Praise God. Don't think for a moment that Eden doesn't exist anymore. It exists. It's just in another dimension. You can access it, but you're not going to access it in immaturity. That's why the fivefold ministry gift is there to mature us so that we can access the tree of life. Every situation you deal with, there's a tree of life and a tree of knowledge and good and evil. You got to know which tree to eat off of. Every situation you deal with, there's a tree of life and a tree of knowledge of good and evil. You got to be able to recognize the tree of life. Can't recognize the tree of life without maturity. That's really what happened to Adam and Eve, immaturity. They hadn't spent enough time with God to be able to recognize that what Satan was doing was causing them to walk off the path that God wanted. I refuse to go down that path. I'm not allowing the enemy to plant no thoughts in my life that will cause me to choose off of any other tree besides the tree of life. You can access this. You can access the tree of life. In every situation, you can access the tree of life that will give life to your situation. You can access it. Those of you online, I want you to text the word SOW, S-O-W, to 225.